fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here again today with Dr. Dan Williamson and his very lovely wife, Lynn. They've been telling their story this week, their spiritual journey into really encountering Jesus, being engaged in the ministry of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. They were in the Nazarene Church for a period of time, but amazing story of how they came into the Catholic Church. And you want to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right there on your computer at any time or download them, put them on whatever device you have that makes it possible to take it with you and listen when you want to, because very touching, especially the last show, I think, of the witness of a wonderful priest, Father Marty. What's Father Marty's last name?
Donnelly.
Donnelly, yes. How could I forget? Such a good Irish name. You know, Father Marty Donnelly, a priest in Toledo or Cincinnati?
Toledo.
Toledo, yeah. Who was a real conduit of the love, tangible, incarnate presence of the love of God the Father,
yes,
at such an important time, and really powerful way of them entering into the Catholic Church. So we ended yesterday, you guys, you're talking about how you entered into the Catholic Church. But I know that from hearing you talk about just how much more hunger you've had to kind of learn the faith and to just be planted in what God's got for you right here, right now. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about that journey, how it's continued.
Well, we moved down to Cincinnati, the Cincinnati area, after being in Toledo, and we were going to...
Holy Name with Father Klein.
Yes.
Father Klein, yeah.
And they were seeking for more, and Father Klein, he was about 80 years old at the time, or late 70s, and he said he wanted more, and somebody said, well, you should have Dan and Lynn teach a class. And so there again, we were in the basement of the Catholic Church, teaching a class on spiritual gifts, on charisms. And a lady said, can I bring a visiting priest in? I said, sure. I said, where's he from? And she said, Uganda. And so I said, certainly. So he came in, and at the end of the session, he says, Dan, he says, do you have this manual? And I said, no. And he grabbed me by both shoulders and shook me. And he said, you have got to come to Africa. And it was one of those things where I said, wow, Lord, Africa? And so we received an invitation. And we sent out all these letters raising money for Africa because, you know, it's expensive to go to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got $60 that came
mm-hmm.
in. And so I said, they tried to get us to go for 2 years. And finally, in 2008, I said, Lynn, we have to go. So we sold a boat. And
how about that?
It paid for our trip to Africa. And I tell you, you know, you go over and expect to change people's lives. And the people that got changed the most were Dan and Lynn.
No question.
And when we were in Kampala, we stayed at a place, the Kamboni Mission Center.
I've been there.
And
we
met Father Rufino. And it's amazing because Father Rufino came to America and is now in Cincinnati and our spiritual director. So, no coincidences here.
How about that?
God's journey, it was just laid out step by step. But Africa got in us. And we've been to Uganda now 5 times. We've actually, in Zimbabwe once, we've spent more than half a year total in Africa. The people, the government is very corrupt, but we never get into corruption because we always go to the people. The Catholic Charismatics meet us at the airport, and we stay with them the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have hugged us and cried when we would leave. And if that doesn't change your heart, nothing will change your heart.
Yeah.
We were able to go in 2008, 2009, 2010. In 2009, when we got there, we saw Lynn and my picture on the back of a bus. We said, what's our picture doing on the back of a bus?
Surprise.
And they had they were advertising for their Eastern Africa National Catholic Charismatic Conference.
Sure.
And people walk in for 7 to 10 days from 15 nations. It's called the Million Star Motel. They take you to a place there in Namagando, and it's literally the hillside, and these 15,000 people are there, and where you see them during the day is where they sleep at night. They'll bring their little bag of beans. And
that's the place, the Shrine of the Ugandan Martyrs.
Yes.
It's a holy place,
visited.
Not just for the Ugandan Catholic Church, but for the whole continent.
Yes.
It is.
Because they do, every other year there, I think, they do a continental gathering, and they get hundreds of thousands of people who come for that particular event. So it's holy ground. the bones of the martyrs are right there. Yes.
Right.
And that's right. We've done lots of preaching there over the years and lots of just supporting the church and its growth.
Interestingly, when they wanted us to come and see the shrine itself, what impressed me most was when they were taking them into the fires, it was a Catholic, an Anglican, a Catholic, an Anglican. They lived together and they died together, which only sealed us more into the idea of coming together.
Yeah.
If they can die together as saints before the Lord, we certainly should be able to live together as people of God, wanting more for Him.
No, that's good.
At this conference, it was amazing. The leader of the conference asked Lynn to go talk to the Pentecostals and Muslims. We were taking an afternoon break and we were ministering to people. And he said, Dan, you go over there to the left and talk to disgruntled Catholics. And I thought, what? Here, I'm the convert, and he wants me to talk to disgruntled Catholics. So I thought, this is amazing. What would I have to tell them? And literally, as we were walking through the people, this woman grabbed my hand and put it on her knee. And her knee, she had a tumor about the size of a Big Mac. And she wanted prayer. And I said, Jesus, please help her. And right before my eyes, this tumor disappeared. Joseph Alamance, the national coordinator, was there. I said, did you see that? And he said, yes, I did. And so we went on, and they introduced me to these people, the disgruntled Catholics. And they said, they won't let us have communion. And I said, why won't they let you have communion? And they began talking about rebellion. And I said, well, if you submit to your priest and you follow his instructions, there won't be rebellion. How can there be rebellion in the Catholic charismatics? That's not a spiritual gift. So it broke, and the people began to repent for their attitudes and their mindsets. Now, Lynn was over with the Pentecostals and the Muslims. I'll let Lynn talk.
That, like, freaked me out. It's like, what am I doing talking to these people, right? But thank God for good interpreters, you know, because they can just take you on through. While they were gathering, it's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, one of my weapons of warfare has been to learn how to speak in your prayer language behind your teeth. So you're actually praying in your prayer language, but it's silent.
Just quietly.
It's quietly, so, yeah. But there's not even a whisper of it because I didn't know what I was even getting into. And the Pentecostal church over there and the Catholic church, the people are in a warring faction where the hierarchy doesn't want to be.
Yeah, I think that.
And you got to tear it down.
Yeah, partly because the experience of the Catholic Church there is that most of the Pentecostals, some of who were formerly Catholic, would say that Catholics are not Christians. People need to get out of the Catholic Church.
It's all foolishness.
It's very divisive. And so bishops are quite sensitive to sheep stealing and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so I didn't even know how to begin. So I went ahead and just waited for them to all settle in. And the Lord gave me a word over one person. It just, this one word kept coming for this person. So I said, I hear the Spirit of the living God say, and I can't even tell you what the word is now because it doesn't belong to me.
Yeah.
But he broke. And once I spoke that one word, then more came flying, just flowing out of me like rivers of living water. It was a first experience for me.
Things started coming to mind, and it just starts, Now, I've had a similar kind of experience where you get a little prompting in a situation, and boy, this seems like the Lord, but should I do it? And what if I'm wrong? And no, I'm not going to do it. Yes, I'm going to do it. And
dive
you just, out of love, with humility, just say, I'd like to share this with you because I feel like the Lord has a word for you.
Yes.
And as soon as you do that, and bam, all of a sudden you see how penetrating it is for the person. And then it just builds faith. It builds faith for everybody who's present, including you.
Yes.
The giver, and say, well, Lord, you are here. Lord, use me, right?
Yes.
So that's what you're saying. Yeah.
And it just continued to flow. And then all of a sudden, it was just very quiet. And that broke that tension that was in the atmosphere. And then the Lord said, speaking in tongues. So I thought, I'm in a Pentecostal, you know, camp here. So I said, how many of you have your gift of prayer language that you speak in tongues? And not one of them raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
I says, would you like to have your prayer language? And they said yes. So went to Acts 2, chapters 1 through 4, when they're all together in one accord, and the tongues of fire coming and lighting upon each and every head, and it happened. And they all began speaking in tongues. It was just a really neat thing that took place, except for one man. He covered his body with his arms, just very upset, and I said, is there anybody here that didn't receive? And he raised his hand. And I said, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of you. You just believe and it's going to happen. And that was probably the best thing that I could have said. The next morning, we got home late, you know, so much was going on. But the priest came in groggy, you know, just exhausted. He said they were there till midnight with confessions. He says those Protestants kept showing up in line in confession wanting to know how to become Catholic. I thought, oh, is this cool or what?
Yeah.
I mean, praise God, didn't expect it. Yeah. Because the last thing I said to them was, we're here with 15,000 people. Each one of you need to find a Catholic friend. Just find a Catholic friend and begin a relationship and talk together. You'll find out how much you have in common, mm-hmm. especially since you have the Holy Spirit together.
You know what I find is interesting? For over the years, many Pentecostals who've come into the Catholic Church, one of the reasons they came is because they ran into Catholics who had the same experience in the Lord that they had, that they know for sure was real.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then when they see that Catholics are more alive in the Holy Spirit as well and understand it, can are praying in tongues or whatever, believe in the present action of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, they go, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't
it's
know
amazing.
Catholics believe that. And then their guard goes down and they trust you.
Yes.
And they're willing to hear what the rest of the story is about the Catholic Church.
You know?
So, Dan, we have just a couple of minutes left on the program. This week went by so fast. Do you guys have any closing thoughts or any more you'd like to say?
I'd like to say this. Bishop Ronald Gaynor was a bishop of Lexington, Kentucky when we were down there. And he took Lynn and I and some others through a Master Catechist program. And it really helped us to go deeper in the Catholic Church. And he certified us as Master Catechist. He's now in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But he was another man that was like a father figure, that was just a good man, a great man of God, and welcomed us into the church. And I think it's important for us not to come across like we're something. Because our feet are on the ground and we're learning more every day what it means to be Catholic and how the Lord loves the Catholic Church.
It's a wonder.
Bishop Gaynor made a statement about cultural Catholics that hit me like a Mack truck. And he talked about how the Pope had done a survey about how many Catholics there are that are cultural Catholic. Catholic in name, but they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. And that pierced my heart. And that's one of the things on my heart, a dream for the Catholic Church, is that we agree with the Pope in evangelism and that we serve one another and get this thing turned around so that it's hard to go to hell being in the Catholic Church.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a good place to be. I think, you know, the whole new evangelization that John Paul II spoke so much about is present. That's really what it's about. It's about evangelizing, re-evangelizing the de-Christianized. You know, it's like re-evangelizing people who got a little bit of it at some point, but drifted away from it, really are caught up in the world. And friends, you may be in this place right now, and you're listening to Dan and Lynn's story, and we certainly are not here to judge anybody, to condemn anybody, but the reality of where we are before God is such an important question. And St. Francis, my favorite saint, used to kneel before the cross in the morning, and he just would ask two questions. He'd look at the cross, he'd say, Lord, who are you and who am I? Lord, who are you and who am I? Because I will never know who I am until you tell me, really, ultimately, because you're the one who knows me. You made me. I belong to you. And friends, that's the cry that you were made for, to have from your own human heart, to have God the Father and his beloved Son, who he sent to show you who you are, how much God loves you, and the plan that he has for your life. And I hope the story of Dan and Lynn this week was an encouraging one for you, because the Lord has a great deal in store for you right here in the Catholic Church. And so open your heart, knock on doors, say, Lord, lead me. I want to be everything you call me to be. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful weekend. And Dan and Lynn, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
It certainly was. Thank you so much.
See you next week, friends.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.